Hey everybody, welcome to Featuring Jeff Goldblum. This is Tyler. You'll see my brother Austin in a moment. We're keeping him off the mic for just a minute here. We want to do something a little bit different today. As some of you might know, Mr. Jeff Goldblum is a jazz musician, pianist, and my brother and I are also dabble in the musical arts. And we decided a while back to try and meet and speak with more musicians by starting our own little thing similar to a tiny desk. We call it the Tiny Coffee Table Sessions, where we invited people into our little home setting to play acoustic music for us, all sorts of different artists from around the world. So we thought we'd just play you a clip from one of our first episodes of that. So I hope you guys enjoy. This is a podcast within a podcast, the Tiny Coffee Table Sessions. Hey everybody, welcome to Tiny Coffee Table Sessions. It's our opportunity to show you some music maybe you've never heard of from artists around the world. This is all acoustic, all new, and all coming at you fresh. We have a very special guest today named Teal Chair. They'll join us and show us what's new in music. So, welcome. Our artist today is fairly unique. Their lyricists and lyrics themselves are all just excerpts from David Sedaris books and short stories. Let's bring him in and get a little background. So you're here with the band.
Yeah. Hey, the band here.
Great. You want to just start right into music? You want to tell us why you use David Sedaris as...
So David Sedaris, he's been a big influence in my music because I use his book to keep my guitar off the ground.
Okay, so he's just always kind of been around.
He's always been my foundation, you know?
Quite literally.
Quite literally. Case. Have I read anything he's written? No.
Well, I mean, you must have if you...
Well, no, our lead singer does the singing, reading, read singing, the narrating, the dictating, the...
Okay, and it seems like it seems like the lead singer refuses to comment.
The lead singer is mute until he's read singing.
Well, that is interesting. Mm-hmm.
You have no idea how hard tryouts were. Yeah, we literally tried for hours until we gave him a David Sedaris book, and then he just started belting out this beautiful stuff.
Okay, well, I guess let's dive right in, ladies and gentlemen.
I think I think this first song is going to be called, it's going to be called The Other Border.
The Other Border. Okay.
Yeah. Is he ready? Are you ready, mute? Okay. The Other Border. It starts out in Galactic C, I think. Maybe it's Worldwide D. I'm not sure. Oh, pardon. I need to adjust just a hair.
Not a problem at all.
Oh, so sorry. Very unprofessional. There's also a gong happening.
My room was upstairs in a letter home I described. It's hunky-dory. How else to capture my peeling buckled wallpaper and the way that it brought everything together? The bed, the desk, the brass-plated floor lamp, it was all there waiting for me, and those certain pieces had seen better days. The guest chair, for instance, was missing its seat. At least everything was uniformly old. From my window I could can see a parking lot and beyond at the busy road leading to a restaurant. Please, Rosemary, that I worked in such a venerable place. It suits you, she said. Don't feel bad about washing dishes. I think even Gable did it for a while.
Yeah, so that's our first song, The Border, or Something the Border. It's kind of based around macaroni and cheese and...
Interesting.
And yeah. Cast iron kettles.
Oh. Yeah, I didn't catch any of that in the song, but that's it's a read between the lines sort of thing.
Yeah, it's like you have to really close your eyes and think like, I can taste the cast iron and I can feel the macaroni and cheese.
Okay, well, great. You got another one for us?
Yeah, so this one is called That's Amore.
That's Amore. That's well, that Amore. Sounds exciting. All right.
Yeah, this one's going to be fun. So this one's fun.
It's fun. Yeah. Okay, great.
This one's a fun song.
Great. We'll try not to get up and dance, seeing as how we're all professionals in the studio.
I'm having a hard time not just playing the same thing for every song. Maybe let me write a new one right now for this one. We have the lyrics, but...
We're calling this fun, huh?
No, that's a different song. I'm sorry, I totally forgot. Here we go. This one is... Okay, here we go. Too fast, maybe.
I mean, it's your song. You do it any way you like it. Like the rats that spilled from the gangway. She was exactly the type of creature I'd expected to find living in New York. Your hosts were on the delicate side, and you didn't much care about being invited back to the party that you were just at. Healing politics, healing on sex, healing on relations. Oh, that's horrible. Where did you know this person from? It was Hugh who met her first. It was New York, Thompson Street, the fall of 1991. There was a combination butcher shop and cafe there. He mentioned to the owner he was looking to rent an apartment. While talking, he noticed a woman standing near the door. 70 at least, no taller than a 10-year-old girl. She wore a sweatsuit, tight through the stomach and hips. It wasn't pastel-colored ladylike kind, just plain gray like a boxer. Her glasses were wing-shaped at their center.
So that one, yeah, that one was called That's Amore.
Yeah, I venture to say I'm not sure I felt it fun necessarily, but definitely interesting.
Oh, it's super uplifting.
Okay, sure, yeah.
If you read between the lines on that one, you'll find it's really based on modern architecture and also foods around the world.
Mm. Yeah, I didn't pick up on the first listen, but probably the next round I would.
Yeah, I remember listening to it backwards too. It helps.
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's unique.
I think we have one more for you.
Great. Can't wait.
The smoking section.
Wonderful. the smoking section.
Smoking section. Oh, we're in.
Give a second to retune there out of drop D. Nope, you happy? Yep, you happy with where you're at? All right.
The first time someone hit me up for a cigarette, I was 20 years old and smoking for 2 days. This was Vancouver, British Columbia, my friend Ronnie and I spent the previous months picking apples in Oregon. And the trip to Canada was a way of rewarding ourselves. We stayed that week in a cheap residence hotel, and I remember being enchanted by a Murphy bed. Something that I heard about, but never seen in person, a Murphy bed. During the time we were there, my greatest pleasure came in folding it away, then looking at the empty space where it had been. Pull it out, fold it away, pulled it out, fold it away, over and over till my arms got tired. It was a little store block from our hotel that I bought my first pack of cigarettes. The ones I smoked earlier had been Ronnie's Pall Malls, I think. Though they tasted no better or worse than I thought they might have felt, in the name of individuality, should find my own brand, something separate, something me. Carlton's, Cans, or Alpines, it was like choosing a religion. Forward vantage people, fundamentally different from when they take in two larks from Newports. What I didn't realize was that you could convert, you were allowed to. The Kent person could, with very little effort, become a vantage person. Though it was harder to go from menthol to regular. From regular size to ultra long. Cools and Newports were for black people. And lower class whites.
Oh, do we cut that from the original? We cut that from the original.
We did, yeah. That was the end. So that song, it's really heavily based on journaling and keeping a diary.
Journaling.
Yeah. It's also has a lot to do with the influx of paper towels in society.
Oh, you for or anti?
Both.
You both?
Yeah, both. Yeah.
Interesting.
We try to keep an open mind when we're writing our music so that our audience can believe whatever they want.
Yeah, well, that's very convenient of you.
It is super convenient of me. Yeah. So I feel like we might have one more in us. It's a kind of a special track. This one is called, let me think which one we should do, off the new album.
Yeah, and when does that new album come out exactly?
Right after the lawsuit with David Sedaris is over.
Oh, wow, yeah.
But yeah, this one's called, I think we should do Abril in Paris.
Abril in Paris. Uh-huh. Okay, well, and also, good luck on the lawsuit. I mean, it's clear that you're using all of his work.
Well, I know that you guys have lawsuit issues yourself with Jeff, so...
Mm. Yeah.
And every other band that your co-host has played illegally through his phone.
Right, yeah, we don't like to talk about that. This episode's about you.
Okay, yeah, yeah, so let's stick to me.
Let's stick to Abril in Paris,
if we could. This one's actually, so I'm going to switch over to bass for this one. That's all we need for this song.
Oh, interesting. Just a bass and vocal song.
Yeah, and it's kind of bluesy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, it's very bassy.
watching TV one recent evening, I stumbled upon a nature program devoted to the subject of making nature programs. That's the subject they was devoted to. The cameraman's job was to watch to catch a bird of paradise in full display. So I dug himself a hole, covered it with branches, and sat inside it for 3 weeks. This was in New Guinea, where the people used to wear sexy loincloths, stand around in t-shirts and say, "Cowboys do it with chaps," or "I survived the 2002 IBC Corporate Challenge weekend." Yeah. One villager might wear a pair of gym shorts and then add a fanny pack or a sun visor with the name of a Riverboat casino stitched on the brim. I suppose that thing came from a relief organization. Ship went down, and this is what washed up on shore. I'll wager that quite a few sun visors found their way to the Southeast Asia after the tsunami. One brutal news story after another, and it went on for weeks. The phone numbers of eight organizations would skitter across the bottom of the TV screen. And I recall thinking that if they wanted serious donations, they would have shown a puppy. Just one was all it would have taken. It could have been sleeping its full belly instead of malnourished children. But none of it would have mattered. People who never contributed to charity emptied their pockets when a cocker spaniel was show standing on a rooftop after Hurricane Katrina. What choice did I have? They asked. The poor little thing looked into the camera and penetrated my very soul with the eyes of a stranded grandmother. I know they were not half as piercing. There she was, clinging to a chimney with a bra strap showing, and all anyone ever did was wonder if she would had a dog. Thank you.
Good. Yeah. So that song, it took us. Oh God. Let's think. I was in Paraguay. Our singer was in a redwood tree.
In Paraguay also, or?
No, here.
Oh.
And so we were Skyping. And so the song, he was like, "I feel so grounded in a tree." And I was like, "That makes no sense." And he's like, "Exactly." And that's where the song came from.
Huh.
Yeah, so it's about being rooted halfway up.
It's about being rooted halfway up.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. Like, it's about finding your roots, even if you're 50 feet off the ground.
Because the song sounded very specific to some people needing help after a hurricane.
No, it's not about that at all.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, that was a metaphor.
Got it.
That was a metaphor for him needing help finding his roots halfway off the ground.
Well, we'll have to give it a second listen sometime.
Yeah.
Really gather all the meaning.
Like, you know, that song, it's been blowing up the charts. We're at -4 right now, and we have -3 viewers and 16 lawsuits.
I didn't know that viewership was like golf.
Yeah, apparently when you get enough dislikes, it actually gives you minus points. But you know what we thought is that if people are disliking it, it means it's making them feel something.
Yeah, distaste.
And, like, they wasted their time, maybe. But, you know what? I'm glad I can be that waste of time.
Well, that makes one of us, for sure.
Perfect. It was really... I really appreciate being here. This is our third show. The first two were for my mom. She's a great audience. She gave a lot of good feedback, like, stop, please, never do this again. Go get a job. McDonald's is hiring.
And yet, here you are.
Here I am. You know, and I told her, I was like, I'm going to be on a infamous podcast.
Yeah, well, can we get your band name one more time?
Okay, band name, Teal Chair.
Teal Chair. You're back.
Yeah, I have a new singer.
Okay, yeah, I thought you seemed familiar.
Yeah, his name's Houndstooth.
Houndstooth is the singer for Teal Chair. Guys, you heard it here first.
Fit for a Princess, all from that album.
Teal Chair is back, their album Fit for a Princess, with their new lead singer, Houndstooth. Thank you for coming back onto the
podcast.
Thank
you. Thank you for having us. I also appreciate the fact I don't own a guitar, so it's nice that you had one here.
Yeah, we keep one in the studio just in case you show up.
Cool, yeah. So, you know, I guess we're going to pack up our gear. And hopefully we'll see you next week or something.
Yeah, please don't pack up the gear because it's ours from the studio.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so you can just leave.
Cool, so I'll pack up the gear and I'll get out of here.
Yeah, don't. We.
Houndstooth, grab the guitar. We're out.
We're really going to need to get security.
But again, thanks. And, you know, look out for us. We're going to be playing a festival in Bolivia. It's called the Marble Festival.
Okay, does that festival know you're coming yet?
Yeah, they do. They invited us because apparently you play and then they throw marbles at you while you're playing.
Well, that seems
it's
apt
supposed
for
to be
you
a
guys.
Great. It's supposed to be a great honor.
So, as always, we'll play our outro music here and move on. This song, obviously, from our sponsor is called I Wish I Was Somewhere Else. Thank you so much for joining us today. All right, that was our very special podcast within a podcast, Tiny Coffee Table Sessions. You'll be hearing more of that if we feel like punishing you again. But we do have a very special guest here today, so I want to just bring her back on. Welcome back, Miss Janine Bray.
Greetings.
Hey, so we're here, and we're just going to hop right in. So, from what I've gathered, you are injured.
I am. I'm injured.
I want to know what happened.
Wait, did you gather that from her walking into the studio?
Yeah, did you see her on the stairs?
I was
it wasn't
limping.
Pretty.
I had to go one foot at a time.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, on stairs, you usually go one foot at a time.
She came up on her knuckles.
Unless you're hopping.
Yeah.
You know, imagine how, like, you know, Quasimodo goes up the stairs in the Notre Dame. That's how it was looking.
Yeah, it's not good.
Well, I'm glad I missed it.
Mm-hmm. No, it was lovely. Quasimodo's great, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah,
we worked that hump out of her back so she could be here today.
So I injured myself. I pulled a muscle in my butt doing the splits to WAP.
So was this a choreographed thing that you were trying to accomplish? What was it?
Like
goal?
A TikTok video? Yeah.
No, I'm just, you know, having a dance party in my kitchen because that's what I do.
Alone.
And so it's you and?
And some friends.
Okay.
And WAP came on.
Of course.
I love it.
Does.
I know every word.
Macaroni in a pot.
That's some wet ass pussy.
Yeah. There we go. She does know all the words. That's all I need to know, I think.
I did have to explain to my mother how it's feminine positive. Because
oh, yeah. She's reclaiming pussy.
Yeah. She was very confused as to why that song was not just disgusting.
No, Cardi is total feminist, you know? Very, like, smart and...
You just have to get past the wording, I think.
No, you gotta reclaim the wording, you know? This is why so many people are upset about it. It's because she just, like, you know, she's taking it and she's reclaiming her own sexuality. She's reclaiming women's sexuality. She's reclaiming BIPOC women's sexuality. And, you know, it's just, like...
Now, do you think, coming from my point of view...
Yeah.
You know where that is. Guys probably don't take it that way.
But they, you know, if the...
I think they hear that.
But adult, mature men who are woke enough are feminists, and they understand it, and they like WAP.
Right, and the idea in theory, I mean, as far as I understood it, was that, like, males forever, since the rap thing has come about, has had this focus of, like, I have this big swinging dick,
yeah.
And I'm gonna do these things with my big swinging dick. And when a woman comes out and talks about her pieces and how she's going to use them, and like takes her sexuality by force that way, like a man does. Suddenly, the whole world goes crazy because no one's ready for a woman to be sexual. And they should be an object, not a person with sexuality. Whereas a male who does the same thing in a very grotesque way for the last, I don't know, 30 years almost, is okay doing that, saying they're big swinging dick music, and mom's whole thing was like, well, I don't like that music either. And I'm like, but that's true. And Brenda was like, well, I don't like that music either. I'm like, that's fine, but that music has been part of the culture forever. Mm-hmm. And finally, we've turned the narrative on its head and have the female being like the sexual person, the female being in control of their own sexuality.
I feel like too, though, like their era in the past, there was some music that was vulgar, but it was more poetic. You know what I mean?
Was it more poetic?
I mean, not in a sense, you know, like the wording was better.
There is some more poetic, more clever rap for sure.
Well, yeah, I mean, of course, but I'm saying it was brought on as a more, they're like, yeah, we're going to sing the song with the family, when really the song's about fucking still.
Yeah.
And they know that, but it's not
Is this the Partridge Family specifically you're talking about?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah, basically. But then now, you know, it's diamonds, dicks, and pussies.
Yeah.
And, you know, the older generations are like, oh, these kids listening to this but vulgar stuff.
Whatever, they sang about that kind of stuff back in the day, too. They just sang about drugs and fucking people. You know?
They did all
It's all the same. Like, boomers have the same taste without knowing
I mean, for example, Monday, Monday, da-da.
It's about a school shooting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brutal. So I actually did not know that.
It's about a school shooting.
Monday, Monday.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a girl. A little girl who shot. Yeah.
It was wild.
Yeah.
And I tried to think of a song that had no sexual or other connotation other than like a bad Monday, and you just like dropped a bomb.
The thing I've like, there is some songs back, like, okay, there's a song I've heard both my parents sing called Tube Steak Boogie.
What do you think
the that about? And they are happy to sing it in front of my brother and I.
Yeah.
Are you thinking of Boot Scootin' Boogie?
No, Tube Steak Boogie.
Some wet-ass tube steak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hop on my big 8-inch. That's part of the song. Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah. Dead serious.
Wow.
Maybe they didn't sing this, but I really like the song.
They sang it. I'm pretty sure
Dad may have listened to it on his Harley, but Mom maybe shut that down. I was like, we listen to James Taylor now.
Oh my gosh.
Who's a heroin addict?
Yeah.
Who doesn't love heroin?
Yeah.
I mean,
Brenda.
Me. Oh, Brenda.
Brenda's not a heroin fan.
But you know what? I like talking about this rap because this rap stuff.
Yeah. These kids love the rap stuff.
Because, you know, I'm in a linguistics class right now, and we were just studying sociolinguistics, and we were talking about African American English and African American vernacular, or, you know, down home speak. There's a whole bunch of different names for it. But it's just really interesting, and it's like rap is the embodiment of carrying over generations of orators, and how important that is in community, in Black communities.
Right, and they called it jive before too, right?
No, jive is mostly slang, is what I heard. Is what I read in the book, but maybe they're wrong because the book was written by white people. So,
well, also I feel like most rap is based in the whole idea of taking slang and making it.
Or making slang.
Yeah. It's poetry about life.
Yeah, it's poetry.
Well, and speaking about women in rap, I mean, No Name is one of my favorite artists from the other year, who got famous on a song that's literally called, like, You Think a Bitch Can't Rap.
Yeah.
Which is a whole song about, like, how she has all these degrees and she can, like, throw you under on how intelligent she is, and also rap about all these things while you're rapping about penises and how big they are and what they're capable of. I can rap about history and where we are in this world and everything else, and then come right back around to your dick again and how unimportant it is in the scheme of things. And it's a beautiful, beautiful style of rap that is just like involving everyone and really putting a microscope on this whole idea of like, what is rap culture and why is it important?
Yeah. There are a lot of those artists though out there.
Well, I mean, also it's rap is like, you know, rap is modern jazz.
Mm.
in a way.
Musically, no. Musically, poetically, no. Maybe.
But, like, socially in a certain
way. But musically, yes, coming up soon, because we have, you know, your, oh, man, what is their name?
I think it's Teal Chair.
No. No, but there has been a whole group of people who have changed the whole face of rap to be more jazz focused.
Yeah.
And to take on live music specifically.
Or look at the new Anderson .Paak song.
With Bruno Mars.
Yeah. That's like rappy. Well, I mean, it's rap, but it's jazzy.
It's jazz and
it's smooth
soul.
And it's soul and...
Yeah. But there's even... who is that famous drummer who plays...
Phil Collins.
He's a black guy.
No.
So not Phil Collins. Oh,
which
man.
One? What does he play?
Well, he plays drums.
Yeah.
What? Like, is he a singing drummer?
Have you guys seen the two kids from, like, Oklahoma, those brothers who, like, they watch a video for a song for the first time, and they did Phil Collins as, like, the one that went viral, and Obama saw it, and then Obama, like, greeted them, and...
The kids who are listening to Phil Collins for the first time.
Yeah, it's great to watch. Do you know what we're talking about?
No idea.
It's like...
And Questlove is who I'm talking about.
Oh, Questlove.
Okay. And Questlove brought jazz music to the rap world.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
And completely changed the game.
Well, and way. I mean, in as from a drummer's perspective, mm-hmm. tons of beats from rap songs, especially older rap songs, are derived from old jazz songs.
Yeah,
and they take, like, the jazz song, like the horn part or whatever part they like from it, lay the backbeat over it, and bada bing, bada boom. You have a rap song. Tons.
Yeah.
Well, Common Songs, like, Mos Def, like a bunch of those guys all did that for a long time.
But sampling music is a part of, like, hip hop and rap music.
It is.
Yeah.
That's basically how they got
it's huge
where they are now.
Well, because the goal was spoken word.
Yeah.
You know, is to be able to, like, speak about the culture mm-hmm. right now, and to do so they used every aspect that was taken from them in a lot of cases mm-hmm. throughout the years and repurpose it to tell their own story, which is like a huge thing that most people do not connect with, which is where we come back to WAP, which is connecting with this idea that, like, femininity and womanhood mm-hmm. can be taken back.
I don't cook, I don't clean, but let me tell you, I got this ring. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even like when Lizzo got big.
Oh, I love
that. Was
Lizzo.
Like a big
her
thing.
Her show was so good. Tyler missed it.
That was a big thing to go through. Like, that was a good punch in the music industry that we needed at that time.
That was the time when I realized work ruins my life.
Yeah, it does.
It didn't actually before pre-COVID. You were going to more shows than anybody I've ever known in my life.
Yeah.
But I did still miss Lizzo somehow.
But you missing Lizzo made it so Ayla and I became friends.
So there's a silver lining there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
It might be a gold lining. It's gold better than civil. You know, civil. Back in the day.
I'm not so sure about civil, but it is silver.
Here's a fun fact. So back before gold and silver,
mm-hmm.
aluminum was the most sought after metal pre-1800s.
Why?
Aluminium?
Because...
Yeah, aluminium?
Or aluminum, because there's no extra I in it either. So it's still, everyone has a different idea of how to pronounce that. But
most people outside of the United States I've met say aluminium.
Yeah.
But there's no eum at the end either.
Yeah, there is. I-U-M is the ending of the word.
A-L-U-M-I-N.
No.
U-M.
A-L-U-M-I-N-I-U-M.
Did you read The Disappearing Spoon or something?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I learned this from... What's and that? Also, there's no I in the end. You can look it up.
Oh, it's just aluminum.
Num.
Yeah.
Okay, N-U-M. Tell us about aluminum.
So aluminum, back in the day, it was impossible to separate from the other metals. So it's impossible to get without this specific acid that someone in Europe developed to separate the aluminum from the
other... As a welder, I feel like I should know this.
Mm-hmm. You should, from the other metals. But because of that fact, aluminum became, like, the most sought-after metal, because gold and other things could be easily separated by hand.
Mm-hmm.
But aluminum couldn't. So aluminum became this super, super rare, precious metal, because it took this very specific scientific process only a few people knew how to do to separate it from other things and use it as, like, an actual metal, and which is also super malleable at the time, just like gold was. but so extra malleable that it could be put into these thin sheets.
Mm.
So it became like the most expensive metal of all time until the gold rush in the 1840s, in which
love it
gold became such a huge thing.
And that's probably the same time where Mr. Reynolds from Reynolds Wrap, the aluminum foil, made his fortune.
Yeah. Because he was just super high on that same acid.
No, aluminum. I have this memory. The only time I've ever seen an aluminum plant is when I was living in Iceland, and we were driving up the western fjords to go to some private hot springs, and we passed this giant aluminum plant, and I'm like, I'm just, you know, as this like Californian girl in Iceland, I'm like, where the fuck am I? What's going on? It was at night. They were telling me Icelandic ghost stories that were in half Icelandic, half English, and I was understanding it. It was fucking awesome. And we just see this giant aluminum plant, and it was just, that's my memory of aluminum.
And there's just this giant roller with all these sheets of aluminum. Yeah, exactly.
I was more picturing like a cacti that was made of aluminum. Yeah. Aluminum plants. Yeah.
Cacti. Okay. Do you mean one or two?
Multiple.
Cacti. Okay.
Yeah. Lots of aluminum plants.
Is that right though? Because what is it? You can't attach Greek onto Latin or vice versa.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And I'm so not sure if cactus. It's actually octopuses. It's not octopi.
It's octopuses for sure. And I don't know if cactus, it sounds Greek. It has a similar octopus, cactus.
Yeah.
I don't cactuses know. Cactuses or cacti?
It might be cactuses.
Cactuses.
We'll have to have the judges.
I hear cacti review. All the time though.
Well, we hear octopi all the time, true. Too, and that's wrong.
I just don't like that because I had to go to speech
therapy. Did you guys watch My Octopus Teacher?
What?
If you want to cry at a documentary.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. The octopus that falls in love with the scuba diver.
Yes!
Amazing
it's
documentary.
The best love story.
Oh, my God. They, like, literally
Ty,
fall in love.
You haven't seen it?
Wait, did they win an Oscar? Was it that guy from WandaVision who played the octopus?
Yeah, no, it was Wolverine who was the scuba diver. No, it's about, so basically,
it's the documentary.
This guy is going and studying this octopus, and he finds this female octopus, and he basically goes down and videos her life over a course of a couple of years.
Yeah, a couple of years. Something and like that. He like doesn't wear a wetsuit diving in this freezing cold fucking water.
Yeah, I don't know how he does
every
it.
Single day. And he becomes obsessed with her, and he's in love with
and
her.
She, at a point, he would dive down and find where she's at, and she would come to him and like latch onto him and hang out.
Because that's how they like smell is through their tentacles and taste. Yeah.
So they were, she got to know his smell, and then he would just dive down and she would know, like, hey, it's you, my love, my beau.
Yeah.
And she'd swim up and then hook onto him, and they'd hang out. And then at a certain point, he would leave and she would try to follow him away, but then have to go back. And then she had a baby.
No, she got attacked by a shark.
Oh, she got injured.
She got attacked by a shark, and it's so crazy.
Wait, so she wasn't in like an aquarium.
No,
she
was in the ocean.
In the ocean.
I don't know where were they? Do you remember?
Like Sweden or something.
Yeah. I don't know. Somewhere like Bolivia.
He was Scandinavian of some sort, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. But you could tell he was like so obsessed with her. It was beautiful.
I mean, he spent 2 years diving down to visit her every day. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he was a little obsessed.
And then she got bit by a shark, and you know, and she changed colors when she was healing because they bit off one of her legs, you know, and then she grew it back.
She grew like a bit
a
back.
Stub.
Yeah,
a
bit back. It healed.
It healed, but it was funky. It's such a beautiful story.
He kept loving her, though, right? I'm getting a little emotional.
Yeah.
He was coming off a hard breakup with a sea anemone. So this octopus just showed up, and he was like, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
You look like you have a lot of arms.
And what's this called?
My Octopus Teacher.
My Octopus Teacher.
Mm-hmm. Worth every moment.
It is really good. Definitely worth the watch.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Okay, speaking of films and movies, I watched a Jeff Goldblum movie today.
Okay, what'd you watch?
Actually, I watched the first half of a Jeff Goldblum movie today.
Okay, no.
It's called Vibes, and it's about two psychics, and it's starring Cyndi Lauper and Jeff Goldblum. And the first half was great, and then I was reading the trivia about it, and it was going to be Dan Aykroyd in Jeff Goldblum's part, and then Dan Aykroyd met Cyndi Lauper and didn't want to do the movie because they didn't get along. And then Cyndi Lauper released a book, a biography, autobiography, and she said that during the whole filming of the movie, she and Jeff Goldblum didn't get along. Yeah. And I'm like, who's difficult here? Is it Cindy? Is it Jeff? Is it Dan?
Is it the trio?
Is it the trio? Mm-hmm.
Is it just everybody?
But it's just, it's super 80s. It came out in like 88. Jeff looks fine as fuck. And, you know, Cindy looks, she's a doll. She looks amazing. She's wearing the wackiest clothes you can imagine, like super 80s stuff. And then she also says that like, it was, that all those clothes were too toned it down for her. But it's like hot pink tube tops and like a tiny little mini skirt and like huge bleach blonde hair. And she's like, yeah, that girl's mundane. That character's mundane. I had to tone myself down so much. So she's probably just such a huge character, you know, in real life.
Well, and Jeff is a character.
Jeff's a character for sure. So, they probably sure.
I feel like there was just a clash of egos kind of going on.
Yeah,
there,
probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has to be a personality clash. I mean, we have been finding out so much about Jeff we didn't know.
Tell me.
In terms of, so in the last episode, we talked about how he was on Fairy Tales as the Big Bad Wolf with Billy Crystal as the pig and Fred Willard as the other pig.
Mm-hmm.
But I just watched a Jeff movie I didn't know about. I want to say it's called Artemis. Anyway, it's this Hotel Artemis is what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it was fun. It wasn't anything crazy, but it was fun. And he does like a cameo role. But his role is like he's the gang boss of this futuristic city.
He's like, he can play a gang boss?
Yeah.
He can play anything.
Oh my God. And it turns out.
Yeah, I can see. It turns out great.
Because like, so it's this futuristic version of LA and it's in like complete.
How future are you talking?
Mm-hmm.
Like 40 years from now in the future.
Mm-hmm.
2061.
So like it's still recognizable as LA, but it just has like futuristic police type
things. For sure.
And the police are going crazy and the mob bosses are going crazy and LA's,
so there's still police in 40 years.
Yeah.
Hashtag defund the police.
Yeah.
No, so it's like RoboCop meets Pacino.
The fun thing about that is that, so I'm part of the scene which I'm going to just advertise right now, because they advertise
can you,
us,
can you reenact
in the new May episode, they gave us a spot. So featuring Jeff Goldblum is officially advertised in the May issue. They call it the Maypril issue because it's halfway through April, but it's going to be also run through May. Yeah. But it's called Unavoidable Disaster. And we all just throw in memes and poems and whatever. Like, it's this Oakland, San Francisco's like online zine that's like a collage of the world today.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're in it. With our thing, but I did post,
obviously,
a Rugrats. I posted an actual clip from Rugrats in it, where it's Chucky dressed like a police officer being like, well, if I don't give you the rules, then how are we supposed to know who's in charge and what we're supposed to do? And Tommy's like, we can make our own rules and we can make them work for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, thank you. And it's from an actual Rugrats from
the
90s.
Rugrats was before its time.
Yeah,
it was,
where they just... They just, like, told people, it's like, you know, no, people understand fundamentally where we are, and we can make our own rules, and we can abide by them by our own terms.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need a guy with a, in this case, like a pool noodle to stop people from doing things.
And put
they them do in work place. Really well for that.
Anyway, Hotel Artemis.
Hotel Artemis.
So in Hotel Artemis, we don't see Jeff Goldblum till like, an hour into the movie, right?
Is he a main character or just he's in the movie?
He's talked about the whole time as like the wolf, like the bad guy.
Okay.
He owns the Hotel Artemis, which is this like this hotel for bad people to come and get fixed up under the radar without the hospitals knowing about it and get put back out on the street. And he shows up hurt. And then everyone finds out he did some terrible things to the nurse who runs the hospital, and she wants to kill him. And his whole scene is just, like, showing up super suave.
Mm-hmm.
And then he does get murdered in this movie, and he's in the movie for maybe 10 minutes. And within the 10 minutes, he's just super suave about the whole meet and greet, and then he is super injured, and she realizes he, like, killed her son or something. And she goes to kill him and, like, sits on top of him to kill him. And he's like, this is how it's going to end, huh? all right, baby, take me down the river.
It's just like so casual and cool. And I'm like, this shouldn't work. But for some reason with Jeff Goldblum, it works perfectly for his character. Like anyone else would be like, please don't. No. Oh my God.
Just being casual.
Holy about shit. Jeff. And for him, he's just like, take me down the river, baby.
You know, I was talking about how when I die today, my plan for my death plan. Do you guys have a death plan?
Yeah, I do.
My death plan is I want to be cremated, and then I want my ashes to be put in a bunch of paint, and I want all my friends and family to paint portraits of me.
Oh my God, that's wonderful.
Awesome. Yeah. I want to fly a car I can't afford off a cliff into the ocean.
Oh, so you want to like commit suicide. I'm just talking about how I die.
I don't want to be suicide. I want to accidentally do that.
You want?
But to be potentially, you know, I would say in my case, maybe drunk driving in the car I can't afford. Maybe I rented.
What kind of car?
I don't know. We're going to find out.
I mean, Austin, you do realize in this case, like Janine had already died and it's her plan post-mortem. And your plan is the death plan.
Yeah, your part is the step ahead.
Your one step.
I mean, to each their own, right?
Step. How about your dream is, how about somebody puts your dead body in a very nice car of your choice?
I don't like that.
Okay, fine.
I want to literally have a photographer there of me flying off a cliff.
Okay.
In a car I can't afford, so into then the ocean.
Step two.
And then catching a fish with my hand as I go down.
Oh my God.
So then
with my hand tattoo fishing hook.
Exactly.
So what do we do with the body though? Because that's where Janine.
No, that's the easiest part.
You don't have to deal with that. Yeah, he's just gonna be in the car in the ocean.
Trust me, that would be a nasty open casket.
But somebody's gonna have to get that car out. They're not gonna leave that car in the ocean.
Oh no! Do you know how much trash is in the fucking ocean?
Yeah,
Austin is trash. They're gonna leave him there.
I'll get sucked out, and they're gonna leave me. Some shark will be like num 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 num, and
you could go take him out. You'll outlive him. Are you guys? How close are you guys? You know, are you guys soulmates? I mean,
like we're a year and a half apart or something.
No, that's not what I meant.
Are you soulmates?
I mean, because Larissa and I were soulmates.
No, well, see, I don't think
so. You're gonna like Thelma and Louise off the cliff.
We're womb mates, so that made us soulmates.
Well, I get that.
You know,
he and I are like Irish twins.
No, that's a time thing that you're referencing. It's like. How close are you?
We're pretty close.
Tyler be in the passenger seat or in the trunk? That's what I'm asking.
Tyler would probably be in a different state, not realizing all this had happened.
Yeah.
Then I'd come back to record an episode of this show and be like, wait.
Where's Austin?
Are you serious? I have to read this in the goddamn fucking news?
I would probably be so high on something that I myself would be Toons as the driving cat and Tyler would be in the passenger seat.
Yeah.
And it'd all be okay. Yeah,
this is why.
So on NPR, I heard this thing about these people that can like freeze people though and like fix some severe organ damage. So I feel like if I caught it
wait, back up. They cryogenically freeze, like kill these people?
They're dead in theory, but not in practice, if you know what I mean. Like, there's no brain function, which tricks the brain into thinking that it's dead long enough. They have 45 minutes from the time they cryogenically freeze these people to take them back out, cut out all the problem organs, or put in organs that don't currently exist while the person is dying, and bring them back. So I feel like if you did that off a cliff, I would hire people. To cryogenically freeze you and
close,
bring you back.
You need
to make a lot more money for that to happen.
You guys are close.
Hey, we've made almost $20 on this podcast so far.
Could you imagine, though? Could you imagine how far this podcast would go if you had somebody who was cryogenically frozen and brought back to life with other people's parts on the podcast?
I mean, it's a huge investment up front, but it would... We would be all over the headlines.
Well, you know,
people who were born from frozen eggs, does that count?
As what?
You know, as like having been frozen.
I guess, in theory,
there's that woman who her child is 21 years older than she is because the eggs that she got donated or the eggs that she bought were from somebody who had donated them 21 years.
But I mean,
prior.
As far as growing as a human, not older.
No, just
they
like,
were frozen. Yeah. So those eggs were from a time before.
Yeah.
Which I think is the land
before time.
Yeah. Which I think Sarah is really fun for the mom, though, too, because if you can be like, hey...
I gave birth to Ducky.
Well, also, if you can be like, hey, my son is 36 years old, and I still look this good.
I know some people.
It's pretty amazing.
That's true.
I know some people, no names for their privacy, but, like, their son is from a donated egg, and he doesn't know How crazy is that?
Well, I mean, in a way, I understand that.
Yeah.
In a way, I do. Because that's something kind of heavy for a young person to conceptualize. Like, to bring that up to your kid when they're little is like, what? Like that's weird. But
he's 18.
But eventually, oh. See, at that point, you probably should have told him by now. You probably should have.
Like, what a trip.
But know? I mean, 18 in this day and age, that's not like a weird thing.
No, I think at he's all. Probably, like, he'd probably be fine with it. It's because his parents are old that they don't understand that he'd be fine with it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Boomer strategy.
Boomers. Boomers got the vax.
Boomers.
Boomers got double vaxed. Did you hear about that?
No.
Some old people are getting like double vaxed. And I heard there was from WHO or CDC or something, there was something on their Instagram saying like, you don't need to be double vaxxed. One is enough, you know?
One is more than enough. Well, I feel like you're going to cause extra problems.
Well, no, but there's been like J&J is one and then whatever the other one is two.
Pfizer, Moderna.
Pfizer, Moderna.
Yeah, it's two.
And then there's the one I found in the alley. It's a free vaccine.
If yeah, but the one. Ones they're, that's, they're putting the, into your butt that make your butt bigger are not the same thing.
That's what I got. That's what I'm looking for.
That's what made you fall so fast in the WAP
dance. In the WAP dance.
Which can have, you know, dangerous
yeah.
issues attached.
That's some
so let's get into news. You know, let's get into news.
To not switch gears
too
much.
Oh my God, I have some news. I have some major news.
Uh-oh. Is personal news?
No.
Okay.
The major news is the biggest rabbit in the world was kidnapped.
On Easter? We just said Easter.
No, it wasn't Easter. Oh, it was in gosh. England. It was in England. And this rabbit, get this, hold on to your butts. This rabbit was 4'2" long.
It was basically Austin.
It's basically yeah. Austin.
With ears, bigger ears on top of my head.
So big.
Wow.
But it was stolen.
Did they give a weight?
No, I didn't see the weight.
Probably close to me, too.
Wait.
Yeah.
Stolen from where?
So his garden.
An octopus's garden?
Was it his garden? Or like...
No, it was his owner's garden. Like so a human.
What the fuck were they feeding this rabbit?
Lots of colored eggs.
Austin.
Yeah. It was me the whole time.
Yeah.
Wow.
But that's the major news from today.
That's London's major news. That's yeah. BBC.
No, it's not. What? No, it's not. What about Prince? The Prince. Prince Sorry, Philip? Not Prince. Yeah.
Prince Philip?
Yeah.
Oh, well, see, that's the major thing. News. This rabbit was like secretly racist too. Old British rabbit, old British prince.
Oh.
No, Prince Philip was like, he was, it's the longest royal marriage that's ever happened for England.
And they were cousins, right?
And they were cousins. Mm. And he was very progressive and interesting, but he just said some racist shit, you know? And it's because he's old and in power.
Yeah, he was brought up in a different time.
But he was talking about different indigenous communities with Obama, and he said to Obama, how do you tell them apart? They all look alike.
Ooh.
Isn't that brutal and so fucked up?
We've had a couple conversations with Obama, and he's very...
I want to listen to his podcast with Bruce Springsteen.
Obama has a podcast.
Obama has a podcast with Bruce Springsteen.
Wow, what yeah. do they talk about?
They, you know what? In their last episode, I heard they talked about their relationships with their fathers, and like just they're very open and emotional and stuff. It's like very progressive, like you know, feminist masculinity.
Well, let's give that a shot.
Yeah, right no, today. I'm really close with my father. I have a yeah. tattoo lined up. That's my dad's tattoo.
What is it?
A Daffy Duck with a cowboy hat, and it says Buckaroo underneath it.
Oh, my God. Like Buckaroo Banzai. Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like an ink blot, though.
Oh,
yeah. No. Mine won't. Eventually. Mine won't. I'm going to get mine bigger.
Yeah.
A little bigger than his, so it stays a little better. Maybe no color. I'm not sure, but that's just, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's because
you love your dad.
I want to be my dad.
Nice.
Yeah. He's my hero.
Oh.
Love that guy.
Yeah.
Love that guy. Good. I'm basically the small version of him.
Oh,
but he's a lot better person than I am.
Tyler, do you love your dad?
Yeah, very much so.
Do you love him as much as Austin loves him?
I mean, I don't want to be him.
Yeah.
But I love him.
Oh, good.
And I love what he did for me.
I want to be him. I got to be careful with my words. I want to be him, but I don't want to be married to Brenda. You know what I mean? Like, I love Brenda. I need a Brenda in my life, and yeah. I have one. Mm-hmm. So I don't need that again.
Yeah.
I don't need that again.
Yeah, I think when you move out, you
Oh my God, this is very Back to the Future.
It's super Back to the Future. Dad and I are like the, like, whoa, your Ford's broken? Let me check it out. Like, we're that guy.
But that's like, car work is a love language.
It is. Yeah. No, I have a lot of hands-on talents that I offer to people for free just because I'm like, well, I'm bored. I need something to do.
No, it's because you're bad in business. Austin,
I have an exhaust leak in my car.
Oh, I'll fix it for you.
Okay, thank you.
But still, that's like, you know, those are the things I can do. And people are like, wow, like, thank you so much. That would have cost me a bunch of money. But I'm happy to do that for people.
I just paid $400 for a new water pump or whatever.
I could have done that for you too. Yeah, no water pump? Oh, ooh, tiny belt. No thanks.
Yeah.
Still a good deal though.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like my mechanic.
Seems like a good deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you like your mechanic?
No. He's ginger.
Oh, nice. Good. Sounds solid. Sounds like a good guy.
More my type.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Okay. I love my dad. He's real awkward though.
Well, that's kind of is he fun. Anything like your he's brother?
No.
Okay.
He's a drummer. My dad's a drummer. He's been a jazz drummer since he was 13.
He's my type of guy.
I'm named after a jazz song called Last Night I Saw Janine.
Oh.
By Cannonball Adderley. God.
Can we play that real quick?
Yeah, Cannonball Adderley.
Last time or last night?
Last night I saw Janine.
Ooh. So it's a sexy song.
Yeah, I always thought it was like about a prostitute. And I'm like, thanks, Dad.
Our sister went through that with Brandy, the song.
I've never met your sister.
Oh, she's
but
a
I'm her neighbor.
She's a fucking riot. Yeah, you guys are literally, I don't know, 45 seconds walking distance from each other. Very close.
What's the band?
Cannonball Adderley does. It's a jazz standard, but Cannonball Adderley does one.
All right, we got it. All right, are you ready for this world? Here comes Janine's life song.
I don't think there's any words.
Austin, you can fix that.
Yeah.
I gave birth to a girl named Janine. She had brown hair. She wore gray shoes. Went on a date for about a half an hour or two. Coconut water's her favorite drink. She likes coffee, I think. She also talks on a podcast.
It's amazing she's tall. How apt this is.
She's definitely not small like me. But she doesn't think a thing about anything.
Lovely.
I don't know if she doesn't think a thing about anything, to be honest, but...
Yeah, I got a lot
of she didn't when she was born.
No.
It's about baby Janine.
It's baby Janine.
All right, well, you're our contemporary culture consultant.
So yeah, we got a little sidetracked.
Let's talk contemporary culture. What is going on in the world right now?
Let's talk about Lil Nas X.
Let's talk about Lil Nas X.
He's amazing. I love him. So, I love him giving a lap dance to the devil and then killing him.
So, yeah, so that's something that came up even on NPR and my little morning time while I'm getting ready for work.
Where tell me, what did you hear? Yeah.
They're talking about Lil Nas X rides a stripper pole to hell and twerks on the devil and then snaps his neck.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly Republicans were not a fan.
But why? If they're against the devil, he killed him.
Right. I think the sexual pleasure he gave the devil first and the fact that the devil is immortal played a role in like how they felt. But just playing devil's advocate there.
But I'm
yeah, I didn't have that lined up.
Yeah.
We could do it in editing, but I'm probably not going to.
Yeah, don't worry about
it. So
just keep mine in.
Anyway, Lil Nas X.
Yeah.
So he's an outwardly gay rapper.
Yeah, I love it.
And he has some pretty wonderful outfits as we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Like the pink cowboy get up to the red leather thing.
He does like, I love his outfits on his Instagram and his like Instagram shots. And he was saying like, you know, they have the shoe with blood in it.
Right. It's like a, was it hell shoe or a devil shoe or a.
And it's like, forget what he posted, but it's like, why are people so.
I'm pretty sure it's
the
shoe
this?
From A Devil Wears Prada.
Yes, good one.
There's a big, large red stiletto heel.
No, it's a Nike sneaker.
You're a Nike sneaker.
I am a Nike sneaker.
Obviously.
But people are freaking out about it, and he's like, you know, it's just.
Oh, we're talking about Lil Nas X?
Yeah.
Oh.
Where have you been?
In the bathroom. Where have you been?
Yeah, we're talking about Lil Nas X, and he just had a birthday.
His hell video, whatever. Very controversial.
Yeah, it's called Call Me By Your Name.
Yeah, I'm
sure that's a nod to Call Me By Your Name.
It has to be.
It has to be.
From what I heard, there's a stripper pole. He meets the devil and then kills him somehow.
He gives him a lap dance. You haven't seen it?
No, I've heard about it, and from what I've heard, what I've gathered is very controversial in some sense, and then other people are super into it.
I'm super into it.
It's not controversial.
Wow.
Took me a second.
No, it's not controversial. It's controversial to people who don't know how music videos are. Because if we're allowed to have, you know, Missy Elliott in a cheese grater grinding on all sorts of things, then we can have
and pieces of Missy Elliott are flying off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
slowly but surely.
But do you feel like it's more the Christian community that was offended? You know, just because it's hell related.
It is. They're having, you know, those big churches where, like, the preacher's all loud and stuff.
I mean, you're already telling these people they're going to hell. So then they visibly go to hell, and they visibly do the things that you think would have taken them to hell, and then they kill the devil. Does he even come back up from hell?
No, that's where it ends with his little, like...
Yeah, so it's like, I feel like everybody wins. Why are we concerned?
I know. It's like, so frustrating.
Christians, Lil Nas X went to hell. He's probably now the devil, just like Santa Claus. If you kill him, mm-hmm. then you become him, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, your entire narrative...
Whoa, back up.
Yeah.
If you kill Santa, like Tim Allen?
Yes.
Is it Santa Claus?
If Santa Claus dies and you're...
No, that's... I just rolled with it. I was like, okay.
That's real.
Is it real?
Yeah, no. If Santa Claus dies and you're there, you become the next Santa Claus.
I was reading about Jeff Goldblum today, and one of the things they say on his Wikipedia is, like, he was raised to believe in Santa Claus, even though he's Jewish.
Well, the other funny thing...
Wait.
Did he have a bar mitzvah?
Did he have a parent, though, who was Christian?
For boys, or
it said on his Wikipedia that he, like, was raised with Christmas and had a bar mitzvah.
So he got double trouble.
Worlds. Yeah, and so...
It's like having divorced parents. You get two birthdays, you get two Christmases. He got it just with his religion.
Yeah.
So. Well, here's something wild, too, that I learned today about Jeff Goldblum that is actually related to the Lil Nas X thing, mm-hmm. is that Jeff Goldblum has an older brother, Lee Goldblum.
Who died.
Who also was gay.
Oh, nice.
And the dad was so, and Jeff didn't know this till he was an adult, but the dad was so anti his son being a homosexual that he sent him to a therapist camp.
Oh my God, that's what, it's all coming back together, because I was reading about Dr. Oz today.
Fucking
Dr. Oz, one of his, of course, weight loss, boring, and then conversion therapy for homosexuals. That's what Dr. Oz's main thing is. It's so fucked up. It's so disgusting.
And this is supposed to be...
I don't like his weight loss thing.
I don't like
any of it. You know how I feel about being fat?
What?
Is that you are more person. And the more person you are, the more person you have to love, right?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, because guess what?
Fuck diet culture.
My fat was just happiness that I ingested.
Yes. That your belly is your life. Your belly is the fish you caught and you ate. Your belly
ate only the fish I caught, I would be in way better shape. Way better shape.
You know, it was just an example of
I
the
think
love.
I catch too many fish.
Oh man, yeah, but good. I like this body positivity.
Yeah, no, I am very for body positivity, because you know what?
But are you for body positivity for women?
I am. I totally am.
Yeah.
You know what? Like, there has been a trending thing that's been... This is right on point. A trending thing that's been happening is, like, bigger women,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, like, thong bikini, whatever, like. Mm-hmm. Happy and proud posting themselves.
Yeah.
And I love that. Because mm-hmm. for me, personally, I don't seem the type, but confidence in a woman is more attractive than their appearance.
Yeah.
Like, if you are, whatever, you look like the thing from Monster, I don't care. Like, you know, but you know that movie? Monster?
With Charlize Theron?
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay. So there's
the thing?
The thing that's there. I don't care if you look like that. If you come off positive, what was that?
I'm just wondering if we're talking about the same movie.
I'm pretty sure, like, very...
She's
was she... she's a prostitute who murders men?
Wrong movie.
Wrong movie. Okay, what movie are you talking about?
I don't know. I just know the thing, person, whatever it was very unattractive.
Okay.
But it fell in love the very beautiful woman fell in love with
Beauty and the Beast. Is that what you're talking about?
Long it face.
Sounds like Beauty and the Beast.
Long, tall face, very disformed.
Oh, the one with Cher?
Maybe.
Elephant yeah, Man? Called, no, not
no,
Elephant
no,
Man.
No, 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 no.
The one with Cher where he's that ginger guy with freckles. Yes, he's got a long
yeah, yeah,
face.
Yeah, Cher like, his face is like 2 feet long.
Yeah, it's called...
He looks deformed.
Shit.
What's it called?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, but yeah, I mean, I'm saying even if you look like that, like I've learned in my... I have gray hair now.
What's wrong with gray hair? You'll be a silver fox.
There's nothing wrong with gray hair unless you're... Dre, and you have gray hair at 19.
No, he looks great. Oh, Dre's you know what? Fox.
I love his Richard Gere thing he has going on.
He looks
so
great.
Good.
It's so
he's still a Clooney.
Oh, it's and he owns it. He has no qualms. Yeah. He owns it. But I'm saying that Dre monster vibe. I appreciate that.
Mask. Totally, it's called Mask.
Mask. Okay, yeah, yeah. I totally yeah, appreciate it. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, with Adam Sandler. No. He sells diamonds or something. He's a
no,
good...
no, I do remember Mask with Cher.
No, but I'm just, okay. Isn't all I'm saying is y'all know me.
Y'all.
And back in the day, I was a very...
Shallow
piece of shit. And everyone knows that.
We're going to stay with that.
Because I used to be in a lot better shape.
No, you're going
so
through
I felt like
I a
had
human
the
revolution.
Right.
It's
I am,
great.
I am. But now, like, I hate, like, pretty people are usually the worst people I've ever met in my
because they have pretty privilege.
Life. Well, I don't care. I'm pretty, too. But it's like...
No, but, you know, like, having pretty privilege and, like, missing certain hardships because you just get, like, you just get away with it.
Oh, yeah. But, see, I was raised by Brenda. So there's a lot different perspective from me. It's like I was born and brought up to appreciate a human for their person.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes, that's
like,
wonderful.
And I love people for being the people that they are.
Yeah.
And if I can't interact with somebody and enjoy my time with that person, I don't want to spend time with that person.
And this is like a...
And you told me about this. There was an interview thing that happened where they had like... Maybe it was mom who told us about this, but they had like blindfolded interviews and a guy would talk to women and, you know, whatever, blindfolded, just have conversation. And it was over 60 or 70% of the guys who talked to these people enjoyed their time with the bigger women than the skinnier, prettier women, stereotypically.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's so true because like...
Well, no, because body positivity, you have to be inclusive in the sense that, like, there are some people who are just prone to being skinny. So you can't just assume that they're, like, if you're making this change and if you're being inclusive of all body sizes, then, like, we can't shame skinny people for being skinny either.
No, and we can't. But at the same time, skinny people, skinny people, whatever, they have, like, this status quo they feel that they
need
to meet.
Exactly.
So they have this level of themselves to carry.
And people equate skinny to healthy, and it's not true.
Yeah, and I'm, you know, in a sad point, better than you, because I've, whatever, and it's, I mean, I get it. I don't like it when people who were overweight go to, you know, fit, and then they shame the people who are underweight. I don't like that at all. Because, like, you should support those people to be like, hey, if this is a problem for you, you can fix it. But if it's not, that's okay.
There's this group called Haze. It's Health at Every Size. And it's like, it's falling into exactly what you're talking about. It's like, you know, you're allowed to be whatever size you are.
Yeah. If you are happy, comfortable, and confident in your body, good for you.
Yeah.
Like, who gives a fuck what you look like?
Yeah.
Like, in
There's more interesting things about
Hispanic culture. A big belly just meant you were prosperous. Like, you were able to eat. You were like, there's tons of cultures that are that way. Like, if you were fat, they're like, oh, he's able to eat and provide. This is a good thing.
Yeah.
But now, in our culture, it's so opposite.
It's the opposite. And, like, and everybody... there's an influencer slash actress who just died. She was 38 years old, and she died of anorexia.
Yeah.
Yeah, so on that wonderfully chipper note, we are going to bid everyone adieu. So... Thank you. Thank you, Janine Bray. Thanks, Austin, for opening up. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We will see you next time. This has been featuring Jeff Goldblum. Stay classy, everybody.